Good morning, everybody. Man, do I have cool friends or what? Yeah, I get to work with these people week in and week out, and they just do an amazing job up here. So blessed by their hard work and how much time they put into rehearsing and playing together. So then on Sunday morning like this, we just come together and worship him freely, and I'm just so blessed by them every single week. So I just wanted to give a shout out to them and thank Josh for coming today and helping us out. Sometimes you just need some help from your friends, right? And I got some pretty cool ones so that I can call on in those times. So if you don't know me, my name's Reese. I'm one of the pastors of this group of Jesus followers we call Trinity. And if you're new with us this morning, welcome. We're excited that you're here. You're actually catching us in the middle of a sermon series called Pursuit of Joy. And really all throughout this sermon series, we're really discovering what it means to live a life of joy. And how do we find joy in our lives? That's what this whole series is about. And today, we're going to be talking about an essential element to finding joy. In fact, if you don't have this thing we're going to be talking about today, you're not going to find joy in your life. It's impossible. And I'm excited to unpack that with you as we go about the morning. But when I was putting together this message this past week, it reminded me of a story of me and my wife, Shannon, when we were dating. For whatever reason, we decided to go to the Mall of America. And when I go to the Mall of America, I always try to park in relatively the same spot. Does anyone else do that when they go there? Yeah. But for whatever reason, I wanted to be a rebel this time, and the sin in my heart, right, just led me to the other parking garage, and that was my first mistake, parking in the other parking garage. And then after a full day of shopping, my butt really hurt because of all the benches I was sitting on, and the guys know what I'm talking about, right? They're not like comfortable benches. They're always like splinters. Never mind. But after a whole day of that, we made our way back to the parking garage. As we got to the entrance of the parking garage, I realized something. I had no idea where the car was. And I don't even know if I was on the right level of the parking garage to know where my car was. And of course, Shannon with me, I can't let her know that. Because to let her know that I didn't know where I was going or that I didn't know what I was doing is an attack on my very manhood. And I couldn't let that happen. So what do you do in that situation? Well, I just start walking. I just started walking into the parking garage aimlessly and Shannon right behind me. And I was about 30 yards in, I started to sweat a little bit because I realized I was totally lost. I didn't know where I was going. And if you've been in a parking garage, you know that everything looks the same, right? There's no one post or anything that looks different, and so you just feel like you're in some like weird rat maze while you're walking around, and you can't find the cheese, you're totally lost, and after a while, you have to start compensating for your losses, right? Oh, honey, it's over here, just two rows down, it's right over there, or it's by that post over there, just keep walking, I know it's by that post, that's where we parked by, but if you know anything about my wife, you know that she wasn't just following me quietly. If you know her, you know that the whole time she was letting me know exactly where the car was. That she made it very clear that she knew exactly where the car was. And so we wandered around, but you can't let her win, you know. So I wandered around for about a half an hour. In this parking garage. And I'd love to see the security footage because it would look really funny. But we wandered around for about a half an hour in this parking garage, eventually kind of running into the car. And guess what? The car was exactly where she said it was. Shannon knew exactly where the car was. It was exactly where she said it was, and that made me super angry. lost my religion for a little while, but I still couldn't let her win, so I denied it, and denied that she knew where it was. Have any of you ever been in a situation like this? I hear some chuckling, so I know that you've been in situations like this before, right? And I could have just saved us a bunch of time, a bunch of frustration, a bunch of hurt. If I would have just admitted that I was lost and actually just asked Shannon if she remembered where the car was, because she knew exactly where the car was at. But my pride and my selfishness got in the way. It was in that moment that I wanted it to be all about me. It was all about, how manly I could be. If we needed to go somewhere, I could take us there. I couldn't let her know that I was lost or that I didn't know what I was doing. I can't let her know that. I wanted to show her that I could take us where we needed to go. But instead, I really ended up showing her what an idiot looks like, wandering around a parking garage for half an hour. But we're all like this. We're all like this. It doesn't matter your age, your gender, your ethnicity. It doesn't even matter if you call yourself a Jesus follower or not. Each and every one of us have a strong tendency toward pride and selfishness in our lives. Pride and selfishness. And I bet I could let you know that every single person, every prideful, selfish person I've met in my life has been an unhappy, unjoyful person. Maybe you've found the same thing in your life, because it's really in those situations that we find ourselves, our pride, our selfishness welling up, that we're really saying that everything is about me. That this the world right now, the situation right now, that half an hour in the parking garage is all about me. But the thing is, if we approach life, if we go through life thinking it's all about me, if we go through life thinking with this pride and selfishness kind of attitude, we keep ourselves from really finding the true joy that God really desires for us. We keep ourselves from finding the joy that God really desires for us, because that pride and selfishness gets in the way. So if pride and selfishness, if you're not going to find joy in pride and selfishness, and you know this just from life experience, right? What's the answer? How do we find joy then? And the answer, what we're going to talk about today, is humility. We need to humble ourselves. And really what we're going to talk about today is that humility is the gateway to true joy. Humility is the gateway to true joy. And I can already hear your mind saying, well, I thought Jesus was the gateway to true joy. Well, maybe that's what you've been taught all through Sunday school, all growing up. But I want to let you know this morning, that's not really what God's word says. No, God's word doesn't say that Jesus is the gateway to true joy. It says Jesus is the joy. He isn't the gateway to true joy. No, Jesus is the joy. He's not the treasure map. He's the treasure. And so, but if we're going to find that treasure, that true eternal treasure in Jesus, if we're going to make him, or we're going to fall before him as our Savior, then we need to get to the point, we need to get to the place in our life where we realize that not everything's about us, where we realize that we're broken, where we realize that we don't have all the answers. We got to get to the point in life that I couldn't get to in that parking garage, that we're lost and we need a Savior desperately to save us. So humility really is the gateway to true joy. Humility is the gateway to Jesus, because if you don't humble yourself before him, you're not going to follow him in life. We need to humble ourselves as servants before the master. So humility is the gateway to true joy. And so in order to find joy in our life, that means we have to grow in humility. We have to grow in humility. In order to do that, we have to, number one, we got to know what humility is. We're going to learn that this morning. We need to know what humility is. And we also have to know, how do we live out a humble life in everyday life? What does humility look like on Monday through Friday, really the whole week in our everyday life? But first of all, this morning, I want to offer up a definition of humility. And this is, guys, just ignore it. If there's flies on the screen, just ignore it, okay? This is the time of year we've fumigated and everything, and they just keep coming. It's like a wave after wave, okay? This is the definition we're going to go with this morning with humility, because I've seen a lot of wrong definitions of humility, and I just want to get everyone on the same page this morning as we go forward. This is the definition of humility, a biblical definition of humility. It's viewing myself and my achievements and those around me through the lens of who God is and who I am in relation to him. Let me read that again. Viewing myself, this is humility, viewing myself, my achievements, and those around me through the lens of who God is and who I am in relation to him. That's humility. It's a perspective of knowing who God is and who I am compared to him. The greatness of our God, and really the small existence that we are on earth. It's perspective. It's humbling yourself. You might be saying, that's a great definition. That's awesome, but how do I live that out in everyday life? How does that relate to me? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm excited to unpack with you this morning, because that's exactly what Philippians chapter 2 is about. The Apostle Paul goes into what it looks like to be humble, what it looks like to live a life of humility, and in return, what it means to find true joy in our lives. Because we got to be humble before we could find joy in our life. And that joy is Jesus. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 if you haven't already. Philippians chapter 2. Feel free to pull it up on your smartphone, your iPad, whatever you have with you. If you want a Bible, raise your hand. Someone can come around and give one to you to use. If you need to use the table of contents, do that. That's what it's there for. Don't be ashamed of that at all. If you need someone to help you around you, find where it's at. Do that as well. Someone around you would be happy to find Philippians 2 for you, help you find that. Let's pray this morning as we begin, as we dive into his word, dive into his truth. Father, we thank you for this time together. What an amazing blessing to gather as your church. When other places in the world, they can't freely do this. And Father, we just pray this morning that you would just change us. Change us becoming more like you, Jesus. Especially this morning, Lord, the topic of humility. Show us what humility is. Christ, we know you are the perfect example of this. You are the perfect example in everything. We just pray this morning that we can, Holy Spirit, you would be here in a large number, changing hearts and directing us towards you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before we get started, I just want to do a little bit of a recap. So the first week of this series, Pastor Bill really did an amazing job of talking about the difference between joy and happiness. And really, happiness is a slave to our circumstances. It's a slave to our happenings in our life. Because you're only happy when you're on the upswing of life. You're not happy when you're on the downswing. But joy, on the other hand, is something that transcends circumstances. It transcends happenings in our life. And he talked about the real, true source of joy is Jesus. And then Pastor Josh last week did an amazing job of really talking about what it means to find joy in times of suffering, times of tragedy in our life. Because the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, he's actually in a dank and dark and gruesome prison with shackles around his ankles. I'm assuming some kind of shackles around his arms, and there's sin and there's murder and there's violence all around him. And it's in that seemingly place of hopelessness and darkness that he writes this letter with an overall theme, really, of how do you find joy? How do we find joy in Jesus in life? Because it was in that moment of seeming hopelessness, a time you would think it'd be the darkest for the Apostle Paul, that he found that he was still finding joy in his relationship with Jesus. And the Apostle Paul's an amazing example of this, and I don't know about you, but he's able to find joy in the darkest times. I want to learn from him because I want to know how to find joy that transcends the circumstances in my life. So that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to dive into Philippians chapter 2, where he starts talking about really the gateway to true joy, and that's humility. So dive in with me. Here we go. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, he says, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So here the Apostle Paul really jumps in right away and talks about a mindset. He highlights a mindset or a goal or a perspective that every humble person has. Every humble person strives for unity. Humble people strive for unity in their life. They're the kind of people that everywhere they go, whether it's their workplace, their school, definitely in their church body, they're trying to unite the people around them, because at the core belief of a humble person is that all of us are always better than one of us, that we can accomplish so much more together than we can ever accomplish alone. And they realize this because that's how God designed it to be, that we can find so much more joy together as the church, as the family of God, than we ever could by ourselves. Humble people strive for unity, and it's the exact same thing that Jesus was doing when he went to the cross. Jesus was uniting rebellious, sinful people with an all-powerful and all-holy God. Jesus was striving for unity. And if we're going to call ourselves Jesus followers, we need to strive for unity as well. So I want to ask you this morning, through your words and actions, are you building up unity around you? Or are you tearing it down? Because there's only two options. With every word, with every thought, with every action, we're either building up unity around us or we're tearing it down. And humble people, if we're going to live a life of humility, we need to strive for unity in our life. He goes on. Says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Wow, this is getting pretty radical now. count others more significant than yourselves? I wasn't taught that in school. I wasn't taught that. I'm not taught that every day. That's not the message the world throws at me every day, to count others more significant than yourselves. No. The world teaches me every day to go after my own happiness, that my self-worth is really found in how much fun I have and how much pleasure I seek. That's a little countercultural. Apostle Paul, what are you talking about? What he's saying here is that humble people put others first. Humble people put others first. They realize, they get to the point and they realize that the world doesn't revolve around them. The world doesn't revolve around me. Humble people are able to be so strong in their identity in Christ, so strengthened by their relationship with Jesus, that they're able to put it aside because they know that it's taken care of. Their eternity is taken care of, and they're able to focus then on other people that don't know him, that need to know him deeply. If they're going to find joy in their life, if they're going to find eternity, if they're going to find the true treasure in Jesus. Humble people are able to do that, and I can't think of a better place, and maybe because I'm so close to it, but I can't think of a better place in our church body right now that's exemplifying these two verses than our church choir. And they bless the 9 o'clock service during the school year, but what they've decided to do, what they've been willing to do, is on Wednesday nights actually move from here in this space on Wednesday nights, move their rehearsal space to the high school next door because the Awana program is exploding and little kids left and right are coming to Jesus and being strengthened in his word. And the choir has decided to put others, make others more significant than themselves. Most of them having a strong relationship with Jesus, mature in the word, putting it aside because it's taken care of, and now they're focusing on those in the family that need to know him deeply. And I'm so proud of them. Keith Larson does an amazing job leading and directing the choir, and I just get to be blessed by his leadership in doing things that I can't do, and he does an amazing job with that. But it's our choir right now that's really exemplifying these verses of putting others first and looking to the interests of others. C.S. Lewis has an amazing quote. It says, "Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And the choir is doing that. And there's other places in the church, too, that are doing an amazing job with this. But I'm the worship arts pastor, so I get to talk about them and brag on them a little bit. They're exemplifying this. So I want to ask you this morning, when's the last time you put someone else first? This isn't a weekly thing, it's not a monthly thing, it's not a yearly thing, it's not a box you check off every week as something you did this week to earn that. No, this is every day putting other people first. And I don't know if you know this, but that's exactly when you said you were going to be a follower of Jesus. If you made Jesus the Savior of your life, that's exactly what you signed up for. When you signed up to put Jesus as Lord of your life, you left me behind, and now you're concentrating on him and other people. And if you're not willing to do that, if you didn't know that before and you're not willing to grow in humility and putting other people first in your life, then maybe you need to really relook at your spiritual life and really wonder if you really want to follow Jesus or not. But I can guarantee you this morning, if you decide not to, you're not going to find joy in your life. You're going to be very miserable. And you're not going to enjoy the treasure that is Jesus. You're not going to enjoy eternity with your church family. Where are you with putting others first this morning? Verse 5, he goes on. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This section here, verse 5 through 11, is really the lifeblood of this whole section of Scripture. It's the lifeblood of really humility in general. It's the motivation behind humility. It's the why and it's the how. Because here's the truth, your salvation is not possible without the humility of Jesus. Your salvation is just wishful thinking without the humility of Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus humbling himself and going to the cross, you would still be dead in your sin, you would still be in your darkness, you would still be living a life of hopelessness. And joy would just be a wishful dream. If it wasn't for an eternal God really striving for unity between him and his broken creation, if it wasn't for Jesus putting you first as he went to the cross, your eternity wouldn't be possible. A relationship with God would not be possible. Joy would not be possible. And the joy that you're feeling this morning, I hope you're feeling this morning, is only possible because Jesus humbled himself and went to the cross and took the wrath of God on your behalf. So if we are a people, if you've put your faith in Jesus, you are essentially saved in portion by the humility of Jesus. And if we are a people that's saved by the humility of Jesus, then why can't we show that same kind of humility to the people around us, to the world around us? Because if we're truly Jesus followers, if we're people that are going to follow him, we're going to do what he did, we're going to think how he thought, we're going to talk how he spoke, then we need to treat others and don the perspective of humility that Jesus showed us. Because humble people follow Christ's example. Humble people, above all, follow Christ's example. It's the why. Why am I humble? Because Jesus was humble, and he did it as a gift. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. And so now, why am I making other people earn it in my life? Why do other people in my life have to earn my humility when I've been given this free gift from Jesus? No, humility is something we freely give because Jesus freely gave. Humility is a perspective we don because Jesus donned for us. We follow Christ's example. That's what a humble person does. And we move on. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about these two verses, and I just want to talk about that really quickly. When it says, work out my salvation, it doesn't mean I do good works and earn my salvation. That's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He's not talking about earning our salvation in any way. What he's talking about is, and this is just how I remember it, you can remember it this way too, but now that we've been saved, we've been given these new spiritual muscles. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to work them out. We need to build them. We need to use them so that we become, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God helping us himself, become everything that we're supposed to be in Christ. That's what it says when you work out your salvation. You're going to work it out and really show the thanksgiving of being saved by Jesus. We need to live like we've been saved. That's what it means to work out our salvation. And really, this whole section, we're supposed to do this as well. It says, with fear and trembling. And that means we have a constant perspective of awe and respect when we come before a holy and perfect God. It's a perspective we're supposed to have as a humble person because humble people accept who they are in relation to God. Humble people know that, God, you have my whole breath in your hands. You have my whole life in your hands. At any moment, you could snuff it out. Humble people know how big God is and how small they really are. It's a perspective of life. It goes back to the very definition of humility that we used this morning, knowing who God is and who we are in relation to him. Humble people accept who they are in relation to God. It goes on, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or questioning. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. Does it say that in your Bible, Dom? Does it say that in your Bible? Does your verse 14 say, do all things without grumbling or questioning? Or is that just like Holy Spirit putting that in my Bible and so I can talk about it? Who here whines and complains? Guys, this is a message on humility. You all better be raising your hands right now. We all whine and we all complain. I struggle with this. And believe me, I know you struggle with this. But when we whine and we complain, we're not displaying Christ. We're not following Jesus. Because Jesus didn't whine and complain when he went to the cross for you. He wasn't praying in the garden going, But Father, do I have to? But Father, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt so bad. Why can't I do it my way? I told you my plan, but you won't accept it. Why can't I do it my way? You mean I have to sacrifice for those people? But I'm greater than those people. No, Jesus didn't complain. What did he do? In the garden before he went to the cross, he said what? Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus didn't whine. He didn't complain when going to the cross for your sin. Now he did say, hey, God, if there's another way to do this, I'm open to that. But he didn't whine. He didn't complain. He knew there was a greater call. He knew his obedience was going to save us. He was striving for unity. He was putting you first. And in that moment, he was giving it all. And we, if we're going to be Christ's followers, as followers of Jesus, we got to serve as he served. And we got to serve with a generous heart. Humble people know the generosity that God showed them by sending their son to die for them when they didn't deserve it. They know that generosity. They believe that generosity. And that generosity, they can't help it, but that generosity flow right back out of them into the people around them. No, humble people don't whine and complain. They serve with a generous heart. And this is something we all struggle with. We're never going to get it perfect here on this earth. But this is a daily practice of surrendering ourselves to him and serving other people around us. Humble people don't whine and complain. They serve with a generous heart. He goes on, do all things without grumbling or questioning. And here's why we do it, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Now, this whole passage up till now has been kind of describing the traits of what a humble person looks like. And now the Apostle Paul is really getting into what does it look like when a humble person is fully committed to growing in these areas? What's going to happen? What's the result of that? And he's really talking about the mission, because humble people display Jesus to the world. Humble people, when they have all these traits, when they really exemplify humility in the world around them, they display Jesus to the world. And in the world that is so dark as it seems right now and gets darker and darker, the light shines that much brighter and brighter. And humility in the world today is a rare commodity. But people are drawn to it like moths to a flame because it displays Jesus. And so we as the church are called to live that life of humility. And it says here, a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's our mission, to display God to the world in such a way that they start to worship the God that we worship, that we make disciples, more followers of Jesus. It's the whole mission of the church. And living a life of humility really results in that. It says holding fast to the word of life. We got to know truth. We got to know what the truth of the gospel is if we're going to go out into our communities on the streets and talk to people about Jesus. We got to know what those truths are, but we need to live them out as the church. And I feel like the world is getting darker and darker. It's so easy now. It's better now. You don't even really, to draw people to Jesus, you don't even really need to speak at first. You just need to live around them. Live a life of humility, and people are going to start wondering who you are and what you believe and why you're doing it. It's going to display Jesus to the world. And that's our mission as the church. So humble people strive for unity. They put others first. They follow Christ's example. They accept who they are in relation to God. They don't whine and complain. No, they serve with a generous heart. And they display Jesus to the world. Now, the rest of this chapter, we don't have time to go into it today, chapter 2. But really, Paul's taking care of some kind of administrative kind of things. And it's not that there isn't value in that. We just don't have time this morning to go into it. So if you want to read it later on with your family, later today, this week, whatever you want to do, there's some great stuff in there, obviously. But we just don't have time to go into it this morning. But as we kind of end the morning, I want to let you know something. And I feel like God, this whole message is really told me to tell you this morning, and that is that you can have it all. In fact, God wants you to have it all. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about material things. He wants you to have, what I'm saying is, he wants you to have the joy found through relationship with Jesus, all at the same time accomplishing the mission that he gave us. He wants you to have your cake and eat it too. He has this mission, this incredible mission for the church to make disciples. But he wants you to be joyful on the way. And that's only found through Jesus. He doesn't give us a mission and then for 80 years or however long you live, you have to suffer through it and you have to really be in hopelessness and despair and until you kind of get to that mission. No, no, no. That's not how God is. That's not how he operates. No, he wants you to find the joy that's found through relationship with his son, Jesus. And he wants you to do that, to find joy in the process, to find joy in the journey. And then one day we'll find eternal, greater joy than we've ever found here on earth with him in eternity as the church. But in order for that to happen, we have to humble ourselves. We have to come to a place of knowing that I'm broken. We have to accept that I don't have all the answers. We have to accept that I'm lost. Do what I didn't do in that parking garage and come to the conclusion that you're lost and you're desperate for a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Humility is the gateway to true joy, and that joy is Jesus. And if humility is the gateway to true joy, we have to grow in humility, and we have to come to the conclusion, we have to come to the belief that it's not about me and it's not about now. It's not about me, it's not about now, it's not about me, it's about God and others, and it's not about now, it's about eternity. And if we don't come to that conclusion, if we don't come to that belief, individually as believers and as the greater church, then all we're going to be is a group of people that used to meet in that building over there once a week. But if we humble ourselves, if we come before him, individually and as believers of the church, we're going to find eternal joy, kind of joy that God wants for each and every one of us, and we're going to accomplish the mission that he's told us to accomplish. Guys, I don't know about you, that's a no-brainer. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Simple in word, hard in deed. But it doesn't get any simpler than that. That seems like a win-win situation to me. Let's not make it more complicated than it is. Humility through Jesus to accomplish the mission. That's what we're all about. Humility is the gateway to true joy. And I'm a firm believer, if you say something enough, you're going to start believing it. So this morning, we're not going to say it 10,000 times or anything like that. But let's say this. Let's say this phrase together. You guys okay with that? We're going to say this phrase together. Say it with me. It's not about me, and it's not about now. It's not about me, and it's not about now. One more time. It's not about me, and it's not about now. Yeah. Do you believe it? It's not about me. It's about God and other people. It's not about now. It's about eternity. And if I have put my faith in Jesus, I can know that my eternity is secure. Put that aside. I'm going to help others find that same joy. That's who we are as the church. That's how you make disciples. But we got to humble ourselves. Humility is the gateway to true joy. Humility is the gateway to a relationship with Jesus, the source of all our joy. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together and the grace you've shown us. The gift of your son, Jesus. When we don't deserve it. We haven't done anything to earn it. In fact, we've been disobedient. We've rebelled against you. Yet you still gave us this gift out of your love. And Lord, I know that you want, you know that I want everyone in this room to find joy in their life through relationship with Jesus. But God, I know that you want that more, infinitely more. We find joy in Jesus, and we find joy in the mission you've given us. The mission that you've told us to join you in. What an amazing gift. What an amazing love that you showed. Help us to grow in humility today, this week, this month, this year. To be a people that knows they need you desperately. And as I'm up here today, Lord, I know my words can't change hearts. God, only you can change hearts. We just pray this morning we would grow in humility before you. In your precious name, amen. Now we're gonna take the offering at this time. We're gonna give at this time, and it's also time. Trent talked about the Connect cards at the beginning of the service. Make sure you put those in the bag as well when they come by. That just helps us as a staff and as the greater church just know how to serve you better and how to pray with you and about the challenges in your life. And I also want you to know, if you want the true joy that's found in Jesus this morning, but you don't have that, and you'd like to know more about that, there's going to be people up here to pray with you after the service here, after we sing this final song, that would love to explain to you what it means to follow Jesus, would love to pray with you, and get you acquainted with someone that could walk with you into a deeper relationship, because it's all humility to get to that place. So I pray this morning, I have hope this morning that you will show the humility to come up and talk to someone about it if you really want to know more. If God is stirring in your heart, do that. Right now, we're going to close with the song, and I just want to give us all the opportunity to surrender, to come in humility before an amazing God. So sing with us.